Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we open the broadcast with just an underscoring the fact that Christianity is distinct from all of the other religions of the world. It is unique, because unlike other religions, Christianity is rooted in history and in evidence. Not only so, but of all the influential religious leaders of the world, only Jesus Christ claimed to be God in human flesh. And of course, that was not an empty boast, for through the historical reality of the resurrection, Christ vindicated his claim to deity. There are other religions like Buddhism and Islam. They claim miracles in support of their faith. However, unlike Christianity, these miracles lack historical validation. And one final point, and then to our questions, let me say that Christianity is unique in that it is a coherent belief structure. Some Christian doctrines may transcend comprehension. However, unlike the claims of other religions, they are never irrational or contradictory. Christianity is also unique in that it cogently accounts for the vast array of phenomena that we encounter in everyday life, phenomena like the human mind or the laws of science or the laws of logic or ethical norms or justice, love, meaning in life, the problem raised so often on the broadcast of evil and suffering and, of course, truth. In other words, Christianity corresponds with the reality of our present world condition, and we have the great privilege of communicating all that and more to a lost and searching world. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, or contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up, Elaine, listening in Washington. Hi.
Well, hi.
It is so nice to talk to you.
Hi. I wasn't sure it was you. Okay, so this is a two-parter.
Okay.
So one is, I want to praise God for delivering me from the Jehovah's Witness cult. I want you to share something about communion with them that a lot of people don't know, and then I want to ask you about communion. Is that all right if I just
go for it.
A bit of information?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so, excuse me. So when I was a Jehovah's Witness, so picture the scene, 300 people in the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they pass the communion, and no one is allowed to take it. Only one person out of 300 will, if they feel, they just have a feeling that they are going to be going to heaven, they take it. A lot of people don't know this. They know that the witnesses are not allowed to vote, take part in any kind of holidays. But this hurts me so much because I love the blood like you do. And they're not allowed to take it. And, you know, then they start looking up to the people that did take it, one person out of 300, and they are the heavenly class. So I don't know if a lot of people realize they have the two classes, and if they, you know, are in the presence of someone that's going to heaven, it's like they are a very special group of people. So a lot of people don't realize that. Okay.
Just 144,000.
Well, yeah, you and I know the 144,000 who they are, but they think they are. They've exceeded that number. But a lot of people don't realize, and it makes me cry, because there's power in the blood, and nobody's allowed to take it. except someone that might feel it. And the average Jehovah's Witness does not want to go to heaven because they, believe it or not, want to be on the earth working. I hate to say it, but they do not. It makes me cry. So when I witness to them, I go, you would really give up from being with God to be down here working? And they go, yes. I know it's hard to believe.
So your question is what?
So there's power in the blood. So communion, I think more like you, and I'd like you to explain it again, because, you know, I just love communion. But I've heard you say that most of the churches, and I'm pretty sure I agree with you, do it differently, and I'm trying to relearn more about the presence of Christ at communion. So can
sure.
you explain it in depth? Because I talk to people, you know, that are supposed to know, and people don't really understand it.
Sure. And for the first 1,000 years of church history, you only had one church, and the practice of communion was therefore universally accepted within the true church as being the real presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this continued on, actually, even in the Western Church, when the Western Church split between the Protestants and the Catholics. Luther was famous for believing in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And in a colloquy with Zwingli in the Marburg Castle in Germany, Zwingli accused Luther of bread worship and said, how can Christ really be present in the elements? And Luther said, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I will explain to you how Christ can really be present in the elements. And what Luther was saying, and rightly so, is that this is a great mystery. And the Eastern Church never tried to unravel that mystery. They put it in a category like unto the Incarnation and the Trinity. These are mysteries. We believe them, but these are nonetheless mysteries. But this mystery is critical from the perspective of what the Church has always taught about theosis, or deification. Luther saying that Word became flesh so that flesh might become Word. Now, that did not mean that Luther believed that we could become as God is in the Godhead. Rather, he believed that we might become, by partaking in the grace of the Eucharist, what Christ is by nature. We, through that, are brought into the life of the Trinity. So the whole idea was, within the context of the Church, to partake of the graces that God so richly lavishes upon us so that we might experience Christ in fullness, the recognition that Christ not only saves us by his death, but he saves us into his life so that we might have life that is life to the full. And Jesus became ultimately clear about this in the Gospel of John, where you have a report of the Lord's own words. It is clear and profound with respect to the living power inherent in the real presence of Christ. When we partake of the mystical supper instituted by our Lord, we live in him, he lives in us. When we do not, we have no life. And again, the words of our Lord are emphatic in this regard. Most assuredly, said Jesus, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And we want to ultimately live not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Much more could be said. I'll leave it at that. Many people hanging on. Let's go to Chris in New York, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank, good afternoon. Actually, good evening. I just want to say I thank the Lord every day for your ministry and what you do and the ability to listen in every day, which is a blessing in itself. My question is just a little confusion maybe clarification is needed here. In Proverbs, when Solomon writes about wisdom, and how important wisdom is, to seek God's wisdom, and how it's everywhere. It shouts from the street corners. And then when I read Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, it's just a little confused when he compares the wise man and the fool, and how it seems like he's saying death is the great equalizer, but then how Solomon writes that, you know, he was wise in his ways, but he considers that vanity. So I'm just confused. Why would he consider it vanity when the importance of it is so evident in the Word of God, wisdom?
Yeah, it is. And if you have no perspective of eternity, everything is vanity. I mean, you think about a person. I was just reading of someone who died at around 100 years of age, one of the richest men in the world. And you think, whoa, now he leaves all that he accumulated over the years to people. What will they do with it? I remember a good friend of mine, one of the richest people in the world, and he was always concerned about what would happen to his foundation when he died. Who would run the foundation, and would the giving go to causes that he believed in? So he recognized that life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow, and all these accumulated riches, you can't take them with you. You can send them on ahead, but you can't take them with you. So the idea here is that if you don't have an earthly if you only have an earthly perspective, everything is vanity, everything is foolishness, everything is vainglory. I love this passage, by the way, the passage you're alluding to, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, when I turn my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly. Just as light is better than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also? In other words, just like the fool, I'm going to die? What then do I gain by being wise? I said in my heart, this too is meaningless. For the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In days to come, both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man too must die. So again, without an eternal perspective, without laying up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal, everything is vain glory and foolishness. Only those whose eyes reach beyond mean earthly vanities to eternal verities, only those are the truly wise. Now, here's what's important with Ecclesiastes. You have to read the whole book. And not only that, but read the book in light of what Solomon has said in other places. You have truisms given to us by Solomon in the Proverbs. To go through those every month, I think very, very important. By the way, 31 chapters. Most months have 31 days, and therefore you can go through a chapter a day. But virtually every principle, every maxim for successful daily living encapsulated in the book of Proverbs. Every enterprise becomes strong through wise planning, by staying abreast of the facts, or there's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Or honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. Do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Well, many, many other proverbs spring to mind, but going through them, you recognize that wisdom is being communicated and done so in a way that you can grasp and apply to the circumstances of your everyday life. To leave it at that, let me mention a couple of things as we go to break, and then we'll go right back to your calls after the break. If you haven't done so already, consider downloading CRI's Equip app. You can listen, learn, and share on the app, and you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the app as well. Just go to equip.org/app. And if you haven't done so already, consider prayerfully subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. It is our flagship magazine. Many of the issues that I address on the broadcast are addressed in the Christian Research Journal. Also on the web, you'll see a newsletter chock full of information. That newsletter is also very, very helpful. We're upgrading it all the time, and it is free of charge. You can subscribe to the newsletter on the web at equip.org. For those of you that are not web savvy, you can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or here's a great solution. You can also talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
If there is one gift I wish to give you, says J. Warner Wallace, it is the certainty that comes with loving and knowing the truth and developing a forensic faith. Wallace's latest book, Forensic Faith, will help Christians know what they believe, why they believe, and in whom they believe in order to stand in the battle for life and truth. Christianity is on trial, and the stakes are of eternal importance. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
jehovah.org.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Kevin listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Kevin.
Hey there. I've got a curveball for you. I never liked this communal bathroom and shower stuff. I always hated it as a child. I was born a hermaphrodite, and nobody ever, you know, everybody talks about male and female, but they don't address my situation. And I was assigned male because I had testicles. You might need to hit the pause button on that one. I don't know.
No, it's fine.
But they created the rest of me. But if I, you know, wanted to go, and I don't agree with all these people that say they want to be a female or they want to be a male. That's malarkey. But some of us actually, you know, because if I wanted to go by my feelings, I'm a female. But nobody ever addresses us when they're talking about all this bathroom stuff. And why did we ever have public bathrooms in the first place and communal showers? That just never seemed right to me. And I'll let you think about that, and maybe you can do some research on it or something. I don't know.
Sure, and let me talk about intersex, which refers to what you're describing as your condition. It is a rare condition of certain individuals who are born with both male and female reproductive organs and sex glands, and even rarer cases, both XX and XY chromosomes. The medical treatment for this disorder involves the surgical and hormonal assignment of gender, which ideally should be made on the basis of all relevant factors. Now, having said that, mistakes are made. And if there is a medical mistake, you have some reasonable certainty about that in terms of the gender that you were assigned, it would not be beyond biblical bounds to prayerfully consider reassignment. And as with the treatment of any rare, and I emphasize the word rare because I think it's the operative word here, any rare disorder, gender assignment is complex. It's obviously subject to human error, and therefore it's crucial to seek the most competent, both biblical and medical, counsel. Now, I think there's something else that I should say in this regard, Kevin. I think that all of us listening in ought to recognize that all disorders, all diseases, all deformities, all decay, even death, is ultimately the result of the fall. And while sin and suffering and sickness are present realities, we have a very certain promise. And that is, in all things, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. So we live in a fallen world, and there's no magic bullet for that except what we're given in Scripture. There's a time where Jesus will appear a second time, and when he does, he will put all things to right. God himself will live with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Why? Because the old order of things, the order that has deformity, decay, all kinds of problems, that will have passed away and all things will become new. So regardless of what our malady is, and we all have them, we look forward to a time where all of that is removed. And in the meantime, for those who become participants in the kingdom, we live by an alternate reality. We don't get rid of the difficulties, but we have peace in the midst of whatever the storm is that life brings our way. And again, nothing can come to us without first passing through the filter of his love. So all of this ultimately is resolved when one starts to recognize the beauty of experiencing life within the Trinity. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Bruce in Corey, Pennsylvania. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I've a long-time listener, probably close to 20 years. And I do want to thank you for your ministry. You have a great ministry, and I've learned a ton from you about most every book that you've written. The scenario that we have is we have a what I would consider a pretty traditional church, but they started to dabble into the word faith movement back. This has been probably in the mid to late 90s, and shortly after I was started to listen to your program, I was made aware of the heresy of the word of faith movement, and. Well, since then, maybe 10 years ago, the church had a split, and now we have this offshoot church that's not too far away, and it has, half of our former church with them, and they're bringing in more and more young people and a lot of family members and friends. How do I go about, I know you always say we should witness to them, with gentleness and respect. But how exactly would I go about doing that? Because whenever I have tried, I've been met with great resistance. I mean, I've seen anger come out immediately from people that have been sold a bill of goods on this teaching. Should I let it go? And just I'm fairly non-confrontational by nature, but it kills me to see these people and family members. Calling for a lie.
Sure, and I think if you have a responsibility within the context of the church, as we all do, we want to make that responsibility felt, because to be in a, as you say, traditional church that is embracing word of faith theology, you want to do something to stem that tide, because this is really new thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption and has a very dark underbelly, because if it is true, as they say, that words create reality, then if you have a baby that dies of some disease, or a person that suddenly contracts cancer, the added burden is placed upon them that their words or their thoughts created their reality. So this is an insidious teaching, and that teaching has to be countered. However, I don't feel it is my responsibility to change anybody's heart. I do feel that it is my responsibility to be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within me with gentleness and with respect. So when certain tenets of the Word of Faith movement are being communicated and I have an opportunity to respond, I will respond. If someone's asking me on the air, I will respond. Why? Because we need to be able to give an answer, and even to expose just how ludicrous this whole idea is. I was thinking about Rhonda Byrne. She's made popular by Oprah Winfrey. She wrote a book and a tape series. It was called The Secret. And in that secret, she says, I now maintain my perfect weight of 116 pounds, and I do that eating whatever I want. Why? Because I have discovered a secret, and the secret is that it is an error to think that food is responsible for weight gain. So here's what she actually says, and I'll quote her. The most common thought that people hold, and I held it too, is that food was responsible for my weight gain. That is a belief that does not serve you well, and in my mind, now it is complete balderdash. Food is not responsible for putting on weight. It is your thought that food is responsible for putting on weight that actually has food put on weight. Remember, thoughts are the primary cause of everything, and the rest is effects from those thoughts. And therefore, if we think perfect thoughts, the results must be perfect weight. So, what are we to say about Rhonda Byrne? Well, at first blush, the rhetoric might even seem somewhat silly. But as I was pointing out, there's a clear and present danger in the reasoning. Because just as her followers must avoid fat people for fear of becoming fat, so too they have to avoid cancer victims for fear of contracting cancer, or poor people for fear of becoming poor. In other words, you should avoid the very people Jesus exhorts us to care for. Do not so much, if you're Rhonda Byrne and follower reasoning, do not so much as look at them. Well, this is pretty extreme, but you know, another person that is promoted by Oprah Winfrey is Joel Osteen. And he's saying essentially the same thing. He says, the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. This is a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you are saying is good or bad, positive or negative. And these thoughts are thoughts that, as I said, have a dark underbelly to them. So to the extent that you have any opportunity to make suggestions to the leadership of the church, I think you ought to take those opportunities very, very seriously, because this is an insidious and serious heresy.
And we have seen the we've seen the results of the teaching when it comes to medical treatments, the negative results of that. But it just seems like we're surrounded now. I mean, our church, had it not been for your teaching on the air, our church wouldn't be a healthy, well-balanced church as it is today. But because we were able to, see the error of those ways, we were able to stand firm there. But now it's like we're surrounded by, Bill Johnson disciples as well. And, the signs and wonders, the heaven, or the kingdom now theology. And I just feel like, we're drowning in, a mess of theological air, and I don't even know where to start.
Well, we can't do everything, but we can do something, right? And so, just as I cannot meet the needs of every single person that has physical needs or has financial needs, however, when God puts people in front of me and makes me cognizant of their needs, I can deal with those needs. And so we can't do everything, but we can do something. And the whole idea is to be faithful where God has planted us. And remember, though it is difficult, there is an eternal reward. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Because much of CRI's mission consists of equipping Christians with what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith, we think his new book, Forensic Faith, is a must-read. Wallace's book is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes good sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence for their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from the Paschal Sermon of St. John Chrysostom. He was a late 4th century Archbishop of Constantinople, named quite literally Golden Mouth. Pearls of gold, as it were, and wisdom falling from his lips. And the quote of the day is no exception. Let no one cry over his poverty, for the universal kingdom has appeared. Let no one mourn that he has fallen again and again, for forgiveness has risen from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. He has destroyed it. by enduring it. The quote of the day, again, from John Chrysostom, a great saint and father of the Christian faith. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Renita in Bel Air, Kansas. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was calling in reference to Mark chapter 4, verse 12, where it's referring to, it says that they may seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And I look at it from a different perspective. I kind of tie it in with the parable of the sower, where I think it says where the seed fell on a certain type of ground and the devil took that seed, you know, when a person does not understand. So I'm looking at it from a perspective of a believer where some things, that, you know, I'm on my second time reading through the Bible. There's a lot of things that I don't understand. There's some sins that I haven't overcome and some prayers that haven't been answered. So sometimes I may feel like, well, is that meant for me, that seeing the Lord does not want me to perceive and understand? Maybe I'm one of those people that the Lord does not want to have a relationship with him. So I'm looking at that verse from the perspective of a Christian, that it can kind of convict you when you feel like you don't understand some things all the way, or your Christian walk is not going in the direction that you would, you know, foresee. So if you could answer that for me, thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah, kind of interesting, because I was just quoting St. John Chrysostom, and he talked about Isaiah's prophecy as well, saying that this prophecy does not mean that God causes spiritual blindness in people who would have otherwise been faithful, perish the thought. Rather, this is a figure of speech. It's a very common scripture revealing God is giving people up to their own devices. And therefore, what is meant by he has blinded is that God has permitted their self-chosen blindness to continue. They didn't become blind because God spoke through Isaiah, but rather Isaiah spoke because he foresaw their blindness and their hardness of heart. And if you've listened to the Bible Instrument broadcast for any period of time, you might recall that I have said, quoting Blaise Pascal, that God dwells in enough obscurity so that if you do not want to find him, you will not. And he dwells in enough light so that if you do want to find him, you will. The truth of the matter is that the revelation of that which corresponds to reality becomes the occasion for the hardening of a person's heart if, in fact, they do not respond to Christ who reveals the truth to them. So people either respond by receiving and thus being changed, or rejecting and thus being hardened. No one, however, remains unaffected by truth. By the way, this passage again is Mark, and later on John and the other apostles, they're quoting, as I mentioned, they're quoting the prophet Isaiah. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Emily, listening in Branson, Missouri. Hi, Emily.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Enjoyed your show greatly today. My question has to do about the rapture. I hear many pastors and preachers and reverends speak about this, but they never seem to show me a scripture that, you know, really clearly states that. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I've written about this, and I've talked about this at length on the Bible Instrument broadcast. I don't think that there is any scripture or even a collection of scriptures that could be cobbled together to support this idea. And this is a very modern idea. It's a 19th century idea. The fact that it's modern and new doesn't mean it's not true. It means that we ought to examine it carefully in light of scripture. The early church knew nothing about this whole idea of a pre-tribulational rapture. Again, it is a late modern invention that, from my perspective, has no validity whatsoever in a biblical worldview. And so many people do think that there is a precedent by cobbling scriptures together for saying that they are going to be raptured, and the Jews that they have herded into the Holy Land, well, 2/3 of them are going to die in a bloody Holocaust. But again, there's no biblical warrant for this whatsoever. It is imposing a paradigm on the biblical text, as opposed to reading the biblical text in the sense in which it is intended. Nowhere in all the scripture do you find Jesus Christ coming secretly to rapture his church and then coming back another time 7 years later with his church, and then after the seven-year tribulation and the second coming. So you have a pre-tribulational coming, a secret coming, and then you have a second coming, and followed by that, you have a millennium with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices, and then you have the greatest apostasy in the history of humanity, and then finally you have the eternal state. You just don't find that in the scripture. You have to impose that paradigm on the scriptures. I've, in fact, written a whole book about that called The Apocalypse Code, What You Need to Know About the End Times and Why It Matters Today.
Very cool. I will check that out. Listen, you always answer my questions, even when God just tells me to turn on the radio like you did today. So I have to be appreciative and know that I'm walking in the fine light of Jesus Christ. So thank you, my brother.
Hey, appreciate your call. Angela, next, listening in Winchester, Indiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I wanted to ask you about the shack. I did read the book, and I read it in 2009, in the beginning of my conversion, and when I finally accepted Christ and realized that I had been broken. And to me, the shack was a metaphor. It was this place that I'd built, this place of brokenness, and I built it piece by piece. And In reading this fictional piece of work, it really was monumental in leading me to Christ and digging a little deeper and realizing that I was worthy of God's forgiveness, and that these things that I had built could be forgiven, that this wall, this shack. So I read the review that you had shared on Facebook, and I was kind of surprised because I hear prosperity pastors, and in the beginning of my walk and my journey with Christ, I too was falling into Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and things like that. And so, but what sticks with me most was this fictional piece of work that told me you are forgiven, you are loved, and you can forgive. You don't have to hold on to old hurts. You can let them go, and God will take them all, and he will heal them. So I guess to see any bad reviews on this fictional piece of work blows my mind, because I'm looking at all the damage that is being done with the pastors that are all over the United States, they're all over our nation, and I hear people say, well, here, read this book by so-and-so, and I turn from it. And I thank you for your work, because I've followed you for many years now, and I've gained deep understanding and learned to dig deeper into Scripture, and if it doesn't line up, I run. I turn away from it if it doesn't line up with Scripture. So I want to know your opinion on this movie, The Shack, your personal opinion, and let me know, please, if it is bad, you know, why? Why do you feel that way?
Well, I think you've read my review, and I'm very, very happy that you have found solace for your soul, particularly in the area of forgiveness. And so I'm deeply grateful that you have been impacted in a positive way. But that should not negate at all the fact that when someone chides those who believe truth about the Trinity and then gives a false conception of the Trinity, that should be pointed out, because error begets error. And there's no more significant error than compromising, confusing, or outright contradicting the biblical concept of the Trinity. And you might recall that William Young pictures the Father bearing crucifixion scars as well as being incarnated in tandem with the Holy Spirit. Well, you have to test that in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. And historic biblical Christianity has always had the Son as coming in incarnation, and only the Son suffers and dies on the cross. And then, again, you may recall that Young pontificates that Jesus has never drawn upon his nature as God to do anything. Well, if you read through the Bible, you find out that that is patently false. So when those errors are made, and people ask me about those errors, I think that it is only right and proper to respond to those errors, particularly when they are errors that militate against an essential of the historic Christian faith. And so hopefully I do that with gentleness and with respect. But I'm doing this, again, because he is chiding people who he says misunderstand the Trinity when he himself is giving, by all accounts, based on the Bible and based on the historic Christian faith, a false conception of the Trinity in his writings.
Oh, thank you.
Well, and, you're welcome.
And what is amazing with you is you've been very instrumental in me actually seeking my own discernment. It's not about what people tell me. It's about what I glean from reading scripture and learn from reading scripture. And I do agree with that. This was just a book that really hit hard. And it was at a very critical time in my life. So, thank you though for your work and I keep listening to you. I keep listening to you, even though I don't understand a lot of the words that you speak. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Well, I am very, very grateful that you were positively impacted. To God be the glory. And thank you for being considerate and listening to my point of view. I deeply appreciate that. I am apologetic to those who are still hanging on. Hopefully you'll call me another time on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, there are a lot of ways in which you can get answers, including subscribing to my daily e-truth. Comes to your inbox. It's free. To sign up, just go to equip.org and sign up on the homepage. And I do appreciate everyone that stands with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. What we're doing together is making a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. Thanks for your prayers, and thanks for all those that are part of CRI's monthly Bible Answer Man support team. God bless you. Thanks for standing with me, and we look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon?
And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.